This is an ABC podcast.
This is Neat and Footy with Sam Wykes and Ginny Rao Arona on ABC Radio Australia.
Our lead to our Palau listeners who are gearing up for the mini game starting just over a week, and I will be there as well, so I'm looking forward to that one. And welcome everyone to Neesian Footy Fridays, the best spot for Pacifica footy news and stories in the rugby league and rugby union worlds. And the reason why we are the number one spot for Pacifica footy news and stories is because we let all of you know weeks ago Adi Savea was off to Japan and wouldn't be with Minor Pacifica in 2026. We also let you know weeks ago that Tota Gefil was going to be the coach of the first ever Indigenous and Pacifica team that will play the British and Irish Lions on the 22nd of July. So make sure you subscribe to our Neesian Footy podcast wherever you get your podcasts to stay in the know. Now, with tea away in the land of the rising sun, Japan, my koi today is a man that said he wasn't going to compete with his parents and have 11 kids. But with baby number 6 on the way, he's halfway there. Welcome back to this Tongan MMT legend, Will Hopewate.
Good to be back. Pumped to be here, Sammy.
Congrats, by the way.
Thank you, Sammy. Yep, the bank is truly broken.
You must be rich, honestly. to have 6 kids in this day and age, holy.
That's why it's Weet-Bix, breakfast, lunch and dinner. But a lot of things to discuss in the show today. Origin a couple nights ago, which we will review. A big round of NRL coming up this weekend. And the Super Rugby Grand Final. Crusaders and Chiefs will be an exciting one. And we get to talk to the Tongan legend, Tautai Kefu.
Yeah, plenty to get through on the show. No, man, do we have to go through the origin? Tough one. Looking forward to hearing your thoughts and how you unpack and review that one. So let's rip in.
Kia ora, my name is Kiana Takarani and you are listening to Neesian Footy.
All right, my friend, Rugby League, let's start with the origin review. Well, as a former Blue, how was that one?
Obviously, as a proud New South Welshman, obviously disappointed with the loss, but excited for the decider. Game three weeks here at Sydney. I think a lot of people obviously speaking about, you know, scored more tries. If we got a few kicks, we win the game. But I feel like the boys and Laurie will probably be discussing about the 26 length points as opposed to the missed conversions. They scored 24 points. That's enough to win your game. They scored 18 in game one and won it. So I think the issue would be probably the start or the first half and the defensive reads and attitudes. And so I'm sure they would, once they get back into camp, review the game and go from there. What did you think, Sammy?
Well, it's actually a good point you bring up. I wanted to ask you on, you know, when you lose a game like that, and I understand, you know, goal kicking's hard. But if they win the game off the back of someone's goal kicking, they get the accolades.
Yeah.
But when it does, it's like, oh, no, we shouldn't have been in that position. It's not just on him. And you're not blaming anyone. But I just always feel like when you lose a game like that, sometimes in review, you nitpick on certain things. You try and find things where it all went wrong. But
that's true.
At the end of the day, you still scored 5 tries to their 4.
That's right.
He gets 2 of those conversions.
It's all over.
It's all over.
Yeah.
No such thing as a perfect game.
Yeah.
Like, yes, of course, you're going to go back and look at the defensive efforts and see that where the points were leaked, but you still scored 24 points. You still outscored them.
Yeah.
So you should have iced that game, and that's what pressure does. You know, you execute under pressure. You execute under unfavorable conditions. Like it's wet. So that's how I see it. Like I wouldn't dwell too much.
Yeah.
But the fact is, hey, we missed our goal kicks.
That's right. Yeah.
And we fix it. But what do you think of that when you lose like that and you nitpick and you try and find something, but you didn't play actually that bad.
Yeah, well, that's a positive, I'd say, that Laurie would draw on that. Yes, we lost, but we didn't play our best and only just lost.
Yeah. Right?
And so the boys can feel like, man, what if we do put it together? We didn't put it together and we scored 24 points. What if we do put it together? So I feel like that would sort of amp the boys up. And, it's hard for me to blame kickers because I can't kick to save my life.
Yeah, neither. And it's not about blame. It's just like it's one of those reviews where you go, bro, it's facts, not fluff. Like the fact is, and you just own it. It's just accountable. It's a tough job because
absolutely.
I see it in rugby all the time where the attack, like the team that's playing probably the best footy and attacking well,
yeah,
sometimes they don't get the win because the other team's got a 90% goal kicker.
Yeah.
And he's just plodding them away. And, and that's what's kept them in there. Like they play boring footy.
That's right.
And that was normally the case with the Northern Hemisphere teams. Like the amount of times I've seen England play rubbish footy, like in terms of a spectacle, and the Wallabies, you know, playing attacking style, you know, they're in the advantage line, they're making line breaks, but yet they've lost because Owen Farrell
just slotting them.
Just slotting them.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, so I just think.
Well, I mean, and going back to our point about improvements, I think obviously everyone's dwelling on the penalty count. Which was heavy, but at the same time, were we disciplined enough? That's something they can look forward to, look to improve in terms of, you know, they reduce that penalty count by being a bit more disciplined. Can be a different ball game.
When you go down, and again, you hear past players, you read the media, watch the media, and as soon as you start pointing your finger at the ref, I just think that's the
easy way out.
Because they're human. Yes, they're going to make mistakes, and you could say it's lopsided or whatever. But at the end of the day, you're in control of your discipline. It shouldn't be a factor. It shouldn't be the case. You should just always know the ref's going to be not on our side.
And just a little shout out to the refs. That's the hardest job.
It's the hardest job.
You could have the perfect game. And you'll get hammered by one side.
Exactly. What did you make of Jerome Luai? Because I know that like it was a bit of a mixed bag maybe in his performance. But again, he's coming under fire. Should he be there for game three? But I think two of those tries come off his brilliance. You know, little grub was in behind. What did you think of his performance?
I thought he was good. Like he come in midway through preparation, slotted right in. And you're right. That's sort of uncoachable and sort of undefendable that, soft touching behind the especially when the fullback's in the line, like that takes a lot of skill. And so, I thought he was good, to in my opinion. Anyway, and a number of the other Indonesian players for New South Wales, Bizza, like three tries over 200 meters, he was outstanding. Payne Haas, he's not normal. He's built out of Captain America material. To be that big, that fit, that fast is unbelievable. And I think for Queensland, the Tongan center Rob Toya, like. I think it's underestimated. His job that he's been doing on Trill Mitt, Latrell, man, it hasn't really been spoken about, but, you know, Latrell's been quiet the past two games, and whether that's he's not getting enough peel or not, but I think part of the reason is Rob's doing a decent job.
Decent job, How old is Rob?
I'm not exactly sure his age, but he's young 20s, early 20s.
Early 20s,
He's only played, you know, a handful of NRL games, and he's proven his stance on the big stage, and so I'm happy for him.
Yeah, I love the way he moves. You know when someone moves well,
yeah.
It just looks like it's effortless.
Yeah,
he's got that gift, and I can't wait to see him in that arena in years to come.
Exactly.
You know, what else would you say Queensland did well to be able to turn it around? Because everyone was saying it was going to be a whitewash. The attacking game of New South Wales Blues, it's going to, you know, they've got 20 points in them.
Yeah, yeah.
What else did Queensland do well?
Obviously, they galvanised off that and used it as fuel to prove a point. And my thing was that the first set, I remember the first set in the game one, the Blues marched 50 off the kickoff, 50 metres.
Yeah.
You look at the game one or game two, first set, Blues received, they only went, you know, it was a red line set, as they say in rugby league, where they defended them up to the 40-metre line, and that was a subtle difference that I noticed. I was like, okay, they're on here. And they were a bit more tighter in defence. They were winning more of their tackles. You could tell that Billy had them, you know, a real steel about them in their defensive attitude, and it showed.
On that, how much of you've been in those preparations before. How much is built on pure emotion and just turning around as opposed to, like, detail and X's and O's on how to beat a team?
Yeah, well, everyone in that arena is a gun, right?
Yes.
And so the important thing about those camps is connecting as a team, because everyone's got the skill set, everyone's got the talent, and emotion on a footy field lasts 5 minutes, right? And then it goes back into discipline and attitude. It comes down to the biggest thing, your kick chase, your kick pressure, tying. These are things that don't require talent, right? They're all just attitude, effort-based. And that's what Origin is purely based on. Because everyone there is talented, or else they wouldn't be there. It's the extra effort, attitude areas that doesn't really get statted in terms of.
It's hard to measure that.
Because
you feel like everyone is on. And I know, again, people are saying that the first half, maybe New South Wales' attitude wasn't on.
Yeah.
Maybe it was on, but just, again, there's another level of attitude that Queensland had to go to.
Yeah,
so
that's right.
You're right. It's very hard to measure until you start seeing those off-the-ball efforts. How hard is someone working off the ground, getting into play, getting into position? So you're not wrong on that. Game three. Looking forward to that one.
I am. That's going to be exciting in our home ground. I think the Blues will learn from their mistakes. They'll improve on it, and I feel like we'll win game three. It'll be a tough one. Still be tough, but I feel like we can win game three.
Yeah, let's shift over now to another Origin game. The under-19s for the girls and the boys played last night in the sunny coast in Queensland. Mate, some talent coming through. Absolute talent coming through for both the males and the females. I know you had some family. Let's start with the girls. I know you had some family playing in the girls' game.
Yeah, well, in a shining light for the Blues this week. It's been a tough week if you're a New South Wales fan.
Yeah.
But we won the women's, the under-19 women's, 26-10 in convincing fashion. As you said, a lot of talent coming through in ample supply, which is good for the game of rugby league, the sport of rugby league. And as you mentioned, Sammy, I had two of my younger cousins in there, Seal Richter and Liesl Hopewadi. I think, for me, because I've got 10 plus years on these.
I think you're going to say 10 plus kids.
So I've seen these, you know, my little cousins sort of grow up, and in my eyes, they're still kids, right? But, you know, they're making a mark and name for themselves, and proud moment for our family to see them two play in such a prestigious team at that age, at that level, on the big stage. And they done well for themselves, and so great win for the Blues last night in the women's.
Hey, the boys' game, 23-22 to Queensland, thrilling match. You know, what did you make of this one?
Yeah, again, another showcase of the ample supply of young talent coming through on both sides for Queensland and New South Wales, and it's good to see younger siblings or family of boys that are playing now. The winger Philip Coates for Queensland, younger brother of Xavier. Looks quite similar too. Yeah. And so obviously, you know, waving the PNG banner.
Yeah, Marcus Boy's boy was playing 13 as well. Okay. Yeah.
And so good to see, you know, past players, their younger family members coming through. And we're speaking about him off air, but you know him quite well, young winger for New South Wales.
Rinakama. Fijian.
He's a weapon.
What a weapon, eh? I'm vocal about this the whole time around pathway systems and talent ID union compared to league.
Mm.
Mate, Jethro's a union kid.
Right. He come up rugby.
All rugby. West Junior boy. Loved playing rugby. His dad actually played for Fiji in the sevens as well back in the day. Andrew. And he was like just a tall Fijian winger. You know, just loving his union, but just no one saw him. And you know, the Bulldogs saw something with him, and he played, went in the Harold Matz system, into the SG Ball system. He's now signed top 30. He's still only, 19 years of age. Yeah. And
so top 30 next year.
Top 30 next year for the Dogs. And he went away with Fiji last year at the Pacific Champs as a developing player.
Okay.
Didn't get his debut, but he was there training with with Kikau. Being amongst those players.
Yeah.
And I feel like he's just improved and improved. Every time he's got his opportunity, he hasn't become complacent.
Mm.
He's just worked hard. And I'm really happy that I get to see someone like him play so well and really making the most of his opportunity, because he wasn't a childhood freak.
Right.
He wasn't the next big thing coming through. Right. It's someone that just
head down. Work
put in the work, and he's reaping the rewards now. But as a former winger yourself, what impressed you from his performance?
I think just his carry, especially at the backfield. That's sort of a winger's one of their primary jobs is to try to get their sets started on the right note. And all his carries is just denting the line, finding his front, most times getting a quick play of the ball. And I know as a team, especially for the middles, they would have loved that. The halves, hookers would have loved playing off a quick play, when he was generating some quick ruck speed. And so, I think Bulldogs got a great young junior coming through. going to remember that name for the future.
Yeah, another name, another couple of names to remember. Jacob Halangahu, the back rower.
That's right.
Yeah, for them. Yeah, so yeah. He's now top 30 with the Dragons. Dad's Tongan, mate, absolute weapon of a player as well. He's only just finished school last year. Mm. And, yeah, he is one to watch. And Fonu Lemoto, the front rower. I think he's going to be probably, I reckon, if he stays the course, keeps working hard and working on his craft as a front row in the middle. He's got really good leg speed. He's got a good motor.
Yeah,
it's just about now understanding you know, how to use his body, because he's a big body, but I think he'll be one for the future as well. But they only play one game. Is that right?
Just the one.
So game, Queensland take the trophy for this year. For the boys, and New South Wales for the girls. And we can't wait to see some of those stars in the future. But let's get to, there is some NRL, actually. There is some NRL to get through. Which game do you want to have a look at for the weekend?
I thought we'd talk about the Raiders and the Tigers. This would be an exciting game to watch. I think, I mean, if I was to make a tip, I think Raiders win with their hard-nosed, gritty style of football that they've been playing. But what I'm looking forward to is the Ornesian prop shootout. If you want to call that, we have the Raiders got the OG Josh Papali'i. Speaking about him, what about his game last week? His record breaking game and scores two tries, kicks a goal.
And you know how much he means to a club when their coach Ricky Stewart nearly cries.
Yeah.
I don't think I've seen a coach celebrate like that on a milestone game for their player.
That's right.
And it just goes to show why the Raiders are going well, because you have people that care, connect. And want to do well in that jersey. Genuine.
Yeah, and Papali posted saying that he was emotional seeing Ricky like that. Obviously, he didn't see it live.
Yeah.
And he would have had to, you know, watch the footage of it. And, saying that it made him emotional. So, got Papali'i and Tapine for the Raiders. And Terrell May and Fonua Bole for the Tigers. So, what's Ooh. That? Samoan, Kiwi, Tongan. All in there. Ready to rumble. Yeah.
So. No, thanks. Not for me. No way. That just sounds painful.
Yeah.
That exactly. combination.
Yeah, it does. It sure does. And another one was to focus on was, how good is it for the Tigers that you have three brothers playing in the same team, the Fainu'u brothers?
Unbelievable, eh?
That's so good. Like, it's hard to have three siblings just play in the NRL, but then to play in the same team. In Sione Latu and Tau, man, that's...
Have you played together with your brothers? Like, were you ever in the same team at rep level? No.
Okay. So I would have loved that. And so they must, they're living the dream.
I was going to say, like, there must be a special feeling, you know, playing with your sibling.
Yeah.
Not just one, but two of them. And, like, just knowing first grade.
Yeah, yeah. And, like, as, you know, as a player, like... You call your teammates your brothers, right? But to play with your actual brothers, that's just next level.
Oh, man, I love that for those boys and their family. Hopefully they absolutely kill it for them. And finally, some other news. Isaiah Katoa. And there might be a bit of nepotism here because I keep talking about him the whole time, being my cousin. But, man, he's been impressive.
Man. If you got the eighth immortal who was a halfback, Rapinha,
I know,
and Andrew Johns, you know you're doing something right. Yeah. And so, and at 21, he's captaining the Dolphins.
Captaining. So the youngest ever captain in NRL history.
Is it?
Yes.
History.
In history.
21. I'm just thinking, when I was 21, I'm still figuring myself out, still learning the game, and he's captaining this team. That's...
Like, you've seen a lot of his progression being in there in Tongan camp. Straight away, you would have noticed he's not your average 18, 19, 20-year-old, the way he prepares and performs. But being a young person coming into that environment, when you have guys like Adam, yourself, automatically might think you're a little bit shy to use your voice because as a half, you need to dominate. You know, what has it impressed you around his communication and his growth so far?
Probably that is his communication. To 2022, the World Cup, he come in as a kid. He's still in high school. He's doing his HSC during the World Cup. And so, he was, you know, 17, 18 years old. And even said it at training. He wanted myself and Liver to make the calls on the field, and we're like, nah, like you're the halfback, like you got us. And he's like, oh, but
oh, so you actually had a little small,
yeah, we had a spine meeting,
a spine meeting.
A spine meeting, and we were talking about, you know, how we want to play and the plays we want to run. And he was saying, he's like, oh, can you guys call the plays? Just because he was somewhat intimidated by the older players, you know,
yeah,
Jace,
yeah, of
Adam,
course.
And, he's like, oh, you guys call it. And we're just trying to read it, like, no, like, we trust you, you're the halfback. And then fast forward a couple of years, I was staff member last year in the Pacific Championships. And to see his growth in that 2-3 year period in terms of directing the boys around the park, being vocal in video sessions, nailing his prep, it was great to see, right? And so, you know, you add another 2-3 years, you know, what's he going to be like? And he's captaining, so this is only going to give him more experience, leading a team of men that are older than him. But I know that he won't see himself as the young, shy high school kid. I feel like he sees himself as a dominant halfback in the NRL competition. And he's not cocky about it,
yep,
which is the thing that I like. He has that confidence, but it's not cocky.
You're not wrong. And what an important bit of advice to any senior players out there, where you have a young, talented player, doesn't necessarily need to be a halfback or anything, but coming through, those conversations that you have with Isaiah then around giving him the confidence, say, no, you're the half.
Yeah, we trust you.
You call the shots. Yeah, yeah. We trust you. What that does for him in the long term.
Mm.
You know, I think that that's the most important thing, because if you break his confidence here, mate, beat it.
Yeah, he goes into a shell.
He goes into a shell, yeah, and he probably doesn't have, you know, that confidence moving forward, or he takes longer to find that out. So that's a big rap on, you know, the senior playing group and yourself and your character, and he's going to have that impact when it's his turn to give that advice.
Yeah, yeah, to the other boys coming.
So absolutely love that. Remember, you can hear every NRL game live on ABC Radio Australia. The PNG Hunters, who are eighth, head to Brisbane to play the ninth place Brisbane Tigers on Sunday. They've lost 3 out of their last 4, so hopefully they can turn their form around. And in New South Wales, Jersey Fleet, the Cavite Silktails host the Roosters at La Toca on Saturday.
Well, Sammy, in your element in the rugby union space, what have you got for us?
Get me over to rugby union. How good is this? The two, the best teams will be going at each other to see who will be crowned Super Rugby Pacific champions.
Before we get into it, who are you backing, or who do you think is going to win?
I like the Crusaders because I'm a massive fan of Rob Penny, their coach.
Mm-hmm.
Knowing what he's been through as a coach, you know, he threw me a lifeline at my last year at the Waratahs when he was a coach there.
Oh, okay.
So I crossed paths with him in Japan when he was coaching over there.
Yeah.
And again, I always say this, I hadn't really run for about 6 to 8 months, I think it was, when I came back from Japan. I was battling from a foot injury. And he gave me a call and he said, mate, have you got 6 months in you?
Yeah, right.
And I was like, yeah, mate, I'm good to go.
Why you're limping?
I'm limping on the phone. I've just been on the rower, you know, trying to keep my fitness up. Yeah. But in terms of running fit, I was well underdone. I've got 6 months in me, coach. I've got you. So I signed at the Tars for 6 months.
Under him. Well, he sounds like a good bloke, right?
He's a good operator. He's a good operator.
From that little story you shared, what do you like about him as a coach?
I just love the fact that he gives autonomy to his players and coaching staff. And that's probably where he didn't have the success at the Tars. Mate, okay. It was a COVID year, so like players were going left, right, and centers. There was pay cuts going everywhere.
Yeah.
So I guess what he's used to is, like, you know, coming in, bringing a group together.
Yeah.
That's his main job. He probably felt like he didn't really need to teach the basics. You teach the basics. But so I reckon the rugby IQ wasn't there, because all the young boys that you're probably seeing now,
yeah,
they're there four years with more knowledge under their belt, but they were just pretty much high school kids.
Yeah.
So that was, you know, I feel that that's his strength. He knows how, like, for an older group, and that's why I think he's suiting the Crusaders. And then, you know, they didn't make the finals for the first time ever last year, you know, quarter final for the first time ever, I believe. I could be wrong there, actually.
They were burning. Yeah.
They'll burn in, and they'll probably cause for, you know, his head, because he's come from the Waratahs, didn't have success, and he went to Crusaders after their 7 in a row, doesn't get any success. And so he was under a lot of pressure to, you know, deliver this year, and he has. And that's what I love.
A lot can change in 12 months.
A lot can happen, and that's why I'm going for the Crusaders. But I do feel like, and I'm sure thought they will back this up. I feel like, yeah, the Chiefs have the star power, especially if Damian McKenzie plays well.
Mm.
They might have the strike power to be able to break the break history over there. I'm not sure if you're aware, they are now 31 from 31 finals appearances, so like quarterfinals, semifinals, and finals in Christchurch. They are 31.
Chiefs
from,
are?
No, the Crusaders are.
Oh, okay.
31 from 31.
Wow.
Haven't lost, so they're going for 32 finals wins.
Wow.
In Christchurch this week. Crusaders have won 13 titles, Super Rugby titles. And apologies, on Monday I said they were going for their 15th title. I meant they're going for their 14th title. Super Rugby started in 1996. And again, if my math is mathing, the Crusaders win every 2 years.
What are they doing over there?
Exactly. You know, it's mind-blowing. Like, it has to be one of the most successful franchises in any code.
Yeah, like how and why and...
It's nothing to do in Christchurch except play footy, play rugby down in the south.
That's insane.
But like if you're thinking about that, not making the playoffs last year, and if history's telling us something, they're winning tomorrow every 2 years.
Every 2 years.
So that's what an impressive outfit. And I think I just love the way that they go about their business, Crusaders. So with that, if any team can probably break that winning streak, it's probably the Chiefs. I mean, the Chiefs have won the last 3 of 5 games in Christchurch, including their 35-19 win earlier this year. In their last 10 meetings between 2022 and 2025, the Chiefs have won 6, the Crusaders 4, but the Chiefs haven't won a title since their back-to-back 2012 and 2013.
So 13 was the last one?
Last one. Sonny Bill was playing in that one, in those two. So that's Aaron Crewe in that 5-8. So this is going to be a tight one. I'm actually really looking forward to this game. I think it's just going to be a real arm wrestle and two quality teams. You know, when you look at stats-wise, attacking stats and defensive stats are very even. Damian McKenzie, I just think he could have one of those days, and you know, I'm just a massive fan of Wallace Setiti. I think he's got that Artie Savea star power.
Mm-hmm.
I think he's going to be where Artie is now. I reckon that's Wallace Setiti will be. I think he's a champion, and I've been banging on this player for a long time this year. Tupou Vaa'i, you know, he's a second rower. He's captained the side for the Chiefs a couple of times. When Jacobson has been out, and I just think as a line-out caller, as a ball carrier, I just think he's got it all, and I just think guys like him will stand up and really take it to the forwards, because if you're going to take on the Crusaders in Christchurch, you have to go direct and straight through the Crusaders forward pack.
Right. Do you think they'll do anything outside the box to try and rattle the defensive systems, or they stick to their guns?
I think they've got enough strike power that they've got enough layers in their attack that tests the Crusaders' defense.
So they stick to their systems.
They'll stick to their systems. You know, Damian McKenzie, he's not afraid to pull trigger if there's a crossfield kick in their 22 exiting.
Yeah.
Because, you know, the Crusaders have held their wingers back, their back three. Yeah. He's going for that play.
So I
think they've got enough there where they don't need to do anything different. Mm. But for them to be able to do that, their forwards really have to go after the Crusaders forward pack.
So that's where you think it'll be won?
Absolutely.
In the pack.
In the pack. Because what the Crusaders do well is they know how to get off the ground fast when they're lying on there, not lay anywhere around the ruck. Like their effort on effort attitude is next level. That's why they're defending for 6.5 minutes after the bell against the Blues. Like, it was so impressive just to see how
that stuff doesn't get statted, right?
No, it doesn't.
How fast you get up off the ground, clear the ruck.
Clear the ruck, get in there.
But how much of a difference does it make, right?
Exactly. So they understand what it means to be a Crusader.
Mm.
And they don't want to be the first team not to win on home soil.
Oh, yeah.
So there's a lot riding on it, and I really like the bench for the Crusaders as well, George Bauer.
Yeah.
We have James O'Connor. I think they've got really good experience coming off the bench, which probably outshines the Chiefs' bench.
Mm.
So those tactical changes throughout that game will be crucial. So I think we're in for a mouthwatering one. I'm going to go for the Crusaders.
Crystal ball, score.
Oh, tight one. I'm thinking 31-30.
Ooh.
I'm thinking there'll be points in this because they're both – both very good at attack. Defense, very good there, so it'll be tight. And I just think it's going to be a 31-30 type of game. So that's what I'm predicting for this one. I've already said who's going to carve up from both teams. Leo Willie, the number 8, Wallace Atiti, that's going to be a great matchup. Shifting gears here, the Wallabies squad for the Fiji game on July 6th in Newcastle. Plenty of Nijan faces. Really happy that Zane Nongor, PNG prop, is in there as well as Alan Alaalatoa from the Brumbies. Lange Gleeson, he's in there after a stellar performance, and he got player's player for the Waratahs this year. Big Will Skelton, he's been added to the squad, so that size will be needed. So he's been playing in France. We see Daniela Tupou after, you know, I think he's probably lacking in a little bit of confidence. You know, when he came out, one of his articles, wasn't sure if he was going to be in there. But he's too good not to be in there.
Yeah.
Filippo Dangunu, Lenny Kitau, Hunter Paisami, and Joseph Swali'i has recovered after his broken jaw. So it's a strong side. Really looking forward to this test match on July 6th in Newcastle. Fiji also have a strong side.
Fiji underdogs, right?
They'll be the underdogs.
What do you think Fiji will have to do to win?
I'm hoping the conditions in Newcastle are great. Yeah, the Wallabies haven't won in Newcastle. They've played two test matches.
Right.
Scotland and Argentina.
Lost both of them.
The Scotland game, the rain was, I've never seen it before, sideways. Just the conditions really suit the Scottish. So yeah. I'm hoping it's just nice weather for the Fijians to have their Fijian flair.
Fast track.
Yeah. And discipline's a big one for them. If they can keep their discipline, not give away too many penalties, I feel like they're in for a shot, because what the Fijians have is big bodies that can stay on their feet and offload.
Right, like all Fijians.
You know, we're not telling you anything different.
Yeah.
It's what they do.
Yeah.
So what that's going to do for the Wallabies, their defensive system, they're going to try and slow that ball down as much as possible, get numbers, you know, trying to hold them up, create slow ball.
Yeah.
But I just feel like if the Fijians can get on a roll and get their game in order, and just break their systems like that, offloads and grab those freakish tries.
Yeah, playing Fiji in touch and all that. But so they're a chance.
They 100% they are a chance. I can't wait for that one as well. I love Test footy in rugby, so that'll be good. And then in other news as well, Alendo Sorkai has been named as part of the Ikalatahi coaching staff. So he's been part of the forwards coaching, defense coach for Moana Pacifica. He's been part of the Wellington Lions as well after he finished up in Japan. So he played at Kubota, but also was part of the coaching staff in Kubota in Japan. So he joins the Ikaletahi coaching staff along with Daniel Halangahu.
Right.
So they've got some really good people to help prepare Tonga for the upcoming PNC. They just need to win one game to qualify for World Cup.
Right. Okay, then. Surely.
Surely with those surely coaches boys. In there.
Surely.
They're going to be prepared well. So that's it for Rugby Union, my friend. That's it. Let's get over to Tota Kefu.
The Rugby Union Preview.
Kefu. Tota Kefu.
With Tota Kefu.
Yes, every week on Nijan Footy Fridays, we welcome in our very own Pacifica rugby legend. He played for the Wallabies 60 times, coached the Ikaletahi for 7 years, and will lead the Pacifica and First Nations team against the British and Irish Lions later, in a couple of months' time, actually. We welcome back the king of Kamaishi now, Tota Kefu. Here he is. How are you, my friend?
I'm well. It's bloody cold here in Brisbane. I haven't had a summer yet. I've just gone from winter to winter to winter.
That's the only bad thing about when you go back-to-back seasons for Japan, is that you just live in the winters.
Well, Origin 2, Doltai, were you cheering your boys on?
Mate, hey. A lot of people said it was a foregone conclusion, easy win. The referee helped, I thought, but hey, it's going to make an exciting game back in Sydney.
What did you like most about that performance from your Queenslanders?
Oh, look, I think just in those conditions, hey, the conditions look really bad. When you get the close-up, you can see the rain falling because when it was the wide pan shot, you didn't know how hard it was raining.
Yeah.
So for them to execute the passing and all that and the kicking, I thought they were pretty good.
Yeah, they were. They did play the conditions great. And like you said, everyone was saying it was going to be a Blues whitewash. And when I was hearing that on the media as a New South Welshman, I was just like, oh.
Stop saying that. Yeah,
can you stop saying that? You're just putting fuel in the fire for these guys. And look what happened on Wednesday.
Exactly. That's one of the like, Queenslanders, they love the underdog. And I just thought everyone was saying how easy it was going to be. It was going to be a whitewash. I'm just saying, geez, these guys just don't know how. You just got to be humble, be quiet. And, you know, you hope for it and you pray. And, you know, even if you know it's going to happen, you just kind of be quiet just in case the opposite happens.
Man, I wish our other Cook Island Coley was here, T, to be able to hear those words. I feel like you're directing that humility piece towards him because he gloats. He gloats. He doesn't hide from it. He was talking about, 3-0. Oh, mate, easy 30 points in this game.
He jinxed it.
He jinxed it. He's like, here's an Aaron Woods. That's the tease Aaron Woods.
And he's such a bloody runner.
Hey? He has. He's in Japan, where obviously your hometown. He's over there apparently running some stairs through those orange gates up there. So I think he's enjoying himself. But let's get over to Super Rugby Pacific Final. It's on this weekend. The two best teams are going at it. Who do you think is going to take this one home?
Yeah, look, I think, you know, after the season, these two teams have been the most consistent, totally deserved to be the finalists. Tough game. Crusaders at home, that's going to give them a massive advantage. I actually think on paper the Chiefs probably have the better team. But I think it's going to be a real game of chess. You know, I think the kicking is going to be really important. And these two sides, they're going to feel each other out. I think the kicking game, the territory battle is going to be really important. The set piece has to be on point. I think it's just going to be a game where which side can absorb the most amount of pressure and who limits their turnovers, their errors, their ill discipline. I think that's how the game's going to pan out.
And which Nijan players do you think will decide or have an influence on the final score?
I was looking through the Crusaders side this morning and David Havili must have a bag full of trophies. He's so long. How many Super Rugby trophies would he have? He'd be up there with seven or eight.
He would have to. I'm pretty sure he's involved with that seven in a row.
Far out.
Yes. Yep. Look, I think his experience is going to mean a lot because there's some really young players there that have come up. I think his experience is going to shine out a lot in this game.
Yeah, and for I'm actually with you with the fact that whoever absorbs the most pressure and probably limits their error rate, goal kicking, like Damien McKenzie, like he scored 207 points this year. So I think if my math is mathing, I think he's averaging 15 points a game in the 13 games that he's played this year. Like if he has one of those nights, do you think there's more strike power within the Chiefs if he's on and then off the back of probably Sami Penifinau, Tupou Vaa'i, Samsoni Taukeiaho, Wallace Setiti, do they have more probably in their team to be able to get over the Crusaders and cause that upset?
Yeah, well, I think the Chiefs have more X factor in their side. Those names that you just mentioned, also with DMAC controlling things. If they can get a few unstructured opportunities, watch out. Whereas I think the Crusaders, they're happy to go set piece to set piece, absorb a lot of pressure, but also apply a lot of pressure and just stay down the other end and camp until the Chiefs, you know, make a mistake. And that's when the Crusaders capitalise. I think it'll be that type of game. The Crusaders, it'll just be, they'll just try and squeeze the life out of the Chiefs. I think that's what they'll do.
That defensive effort from the Crusaders last week against the Blues, 6.5 minutes after the siren, defending 40-plus phases, only giving away probably like the one penalty after that 40 phases. Like that's Crusaders' DNA.
And over to international rugby Tautai, the Wallaby squad, come out yesterday for their test against Fiji. There's about 10 Nisian players in there, but there were also a few that missed out. Korobeti, Karevu, Pete Samu. Who are you surprised to see miss out?
Well, not only those players who are overseas. I think they're playing their trade overseas. But I thought Lukan Solokai was unlucky. I think he's had a pretty inconsistent season with the Reds. But we know when he's at his best, he's I think he deserves a place in there. Mm-hmm. It's a long year. It's going to be a tough. I have no doubt he'll get a run at some stage down the track. Depending on, you know, he may come in for injuries or just cover. I think he's a part of the wider squad. So I don't think he's. I don't think he'll be too far out of the action.
Yeah, I agree. I think these players have been selected for this Fiji test match, I know that they'll probably choose another squad again. For that line series. So I guess Pete Samu, he's probably one player that's I think will be featured at some point, but he's just come off the back of that win over with Bordeaux in France. So they've had a long year, so he'll just be probably on break. But guys like Korombete and Samu Kurevi, you know, people automatically think, because we know what they've done in the past, that they could probably just come back into, you know, the test arena. But you know full well the level of intensity, say, like what you play in Japan, especially maybe where Kurevi is, like, can someone go from that Div 2 level of intensity competition, probably for a long period of time, not just for like 6 months or so, and come back into a test arena?
No, I don't think they can. I think if they really want Kurevi to be involved, they'll have him training now. And maybe being involved with the squad, but there would be a lot of catch up that he would have to do. Even Kurevi wasn't in Div 2, but he was in a D-Rocks team that finished last, actually, and he was either starting or coming off the bench. So it's a massive difference between the footy that they play there compared to Super Rugby. It's a mile apart, and then again another step up to test level.
Let's move over to the British and Irish Lions. They've got their game against Argentina this week, and I just want to touch on their midfield pairing, which is Bundi Aki and Sione Tuipulotu. Like, that's a powerful centre pairing, and I think, you know, from watching probably the way that they play, if they play well this week, they could feature heavily as the centre pairing for them this week. But what do you make of those two combining together?
Yeah, look, definitely lethal pairing. And just like I was just what you said, it could definitely be the centre pairing for the test matches. I think what's the head coach's name? It's Farrell. So, look, I think Farrell would definitely know what his squad looks like, and he would probably put that aside, and he would, the players that he would choose now for these games, you know, it's a bit of a trial and error or a test for all everyone. So whoever's got the opportunity to play now, like, they all know, look, if I put a bloody good performance on, you know, that's a tick against my name for the test matches. So, you know, it's going to be bloody competitive. I had a look at the run-on team. It's a test standard side. It's a really good side. Plus, some of the players that they've left out are unbelievable as well. So it'll be interesting. I'll be getting up early tomorrow morning to have a look at them play against Argentina. And they've been in camp now for about a couple of weeks, I think. It'll be interesting to see how they go tomorrow.
And look, we obviously, all of us here in the chat will be going for the Wallabies when they play the British and Irish Lions. But taking our bias out of it and stepping back, who do you think wins in these test matches with the Lions and the Wallabies?
Oh, look, I think if you stack up the form of, you know, the two teams, the British and Irish Lions probably win all three. But, you know, we referenced this just before. We all thought the Blues were going to win, but Queenslanders, their undying spirit came through and beat them. So, look, the Wallabies, they're going to be up for this. Like, you imagine if you're a Wallaby player or a young Wallaby player playing against probably the most iconic Barbarians team in the world. Mm. This is your only chance to play against the British Irons. Not many people play twice. You'd give everything you've got, you know. You die out there for your teammates and for your team. So I think it's going to be bloody close. And the team that the Wallaby team we've got is bloody good, really good side. And we've got the best coaching group there. They're 2 or 3 years in. I'm a big fan of Mike Cron, the forwards coach. He's one of the best coaches I've ever seen operate. Joe Smith, unbelievable. So I think it's going to come close. You know, I'm predicting a 2-1 win to the Wallabies at the end of this Lions series.
Yeah, you're just hoping that they rise to the occasion. You know, I've said, like, you can be the underdogs and you might not have the same quality, I guess, star power, as opposed they've got their choosing, you know, from 4 different countries, the British and Irish Lions, and it's the best of the best. But, yeah, players rise to the occasion and you know, amazing things can happen, as we've seen in the past. I just want to talk about probably the Wallabies centre pairing. Where do you think Joseph Swali is best suited for this game? Like, who would, like, if that's Sione Tupulotu and Bundi Aki are lining up, who do you have as your centre pairing? And, yeah, is Joseph Swali'i in there, or is he at fullback, or is he on the wing?
I'd like him in the centres. I like him closer to the action. I'm not a big – I think he's not only a finisher, but he can create as well. And I'd love him to create stuff for his outside and inside backs. I think if he's at fullback, that's also not a bad position for him. But I think closer to the ball, being a threat all the time, I think that suits us better. I think that's the best use of his skills.
Yeah, I went a bit of a different way. I thought Hunter Paisami and Len Ikitau would probably suit as our centre pairing, but having Joseph Swali in on the wing, finishing, but having more like a Seville Reese role. You know, just going looking for it a bit more, like just because you've got that number on the back, you can have a starter play off line out or scrum where he's in the centres and close to the ball, and after he does his first phase carry or whatever he needs to do, shift back out and then just get him focusing on finishing, scoring tries. Don't have to worry about him, you know, am I 13, what I need to do defensively. But, yeah, you can see both sides of it. But I just thought he might be suited there for that one. And 10, that's my – who do you think of for 10?
Oh, jeez.
This is probably our – this is the Wallabies area where I feel like, what do you go with here?
Who would you go with?
I'm going liner, 90% goal kicker.
Yeah, me too. I'd prefer liner. The only thing – with like he's tough too. He'll make tackles all day. I just think he's probably a couple years away from being really polished number 10. I think I agree with you, but I just think he's not there yet. But the only way to get him there is to play him, right?
Yeah, because I just don't know who else. Again, we have good players. But I'm just thinking world-class players. Like, you know, I'm thinking Stephen Larkhams, Matt Giddo, like those type of players, whereas maybe to me, that's the area where I think we're not matching the lines like for like, is just in that 10 position.
One of the most important things is the kicking game from a 10, right? So he's kicking passing game on point. And you just mentioned 90% goal kicker. There's no one else in Australia is 90%, are they?
No, I don't think so, no.
So, remember, I hate to always reference back in our days, but the goal kickers we used to have or everywhere in the world, were anywhere inside 50 was 3 points.
Exactly.
You know?
Can you call them up and tell them come out of retirement then?
for the Blues? Or?
And Toda, is there any more news for us about the Pacifica Indigenous team in terms of personnel or plans or the cultural side of things?
Well, with the Wallaby team being named yesterday, so we've got a little bit of an idea of what our team will look like. We just don't know whether So the players, they picked a 36-man squad yesterday. So the players not involved, we definitely want to come and play for us.
Yeah.
So we're just going to see what type of access we get to those. If not, if we leave them with the Wallabies, then we pretty much know who we're going to pick from the rest. So we just need some clarity around that. But
you know, when you talk about the player pool that you have you already tapped anyone on the shoulder to say, hey, make sure you haven't blown out, make sure you're training, making sure that you've got some detail, and so players, they're not coming into camp thinking, oh, this is day one. They've got a bit of an idea on what's happening.
No, we talked about Lucan not being selected, but he is in the wider squad.
His name, Lucan, could be there. Nice.
Yeah. He'd probably call the line out, so he'd be one of the leaders, I would say. He's still got he'll play for the Reds too against the Lions, so he's one guy fit. I was at club training last night and Seru Uru was there, so I had a little quiet word to him and said, mate, you know, you'll be involved with this team, so make sure you have plenty of game time and keep training on. So those two players will definitely be involved, I'd say.
Yes, there's a scoop for us. I said in the intro that if you want to be in the know, make sure you listen to our show, because, mate, we get the news before everyone, so I appreciate that.
Waxy was hoping you give him a quiet word too.
He's already given me that quiet word. It's like, get stuck. It wasn't quiet. But on that note, awesome to chat, brother, and we'll touch base again next week.
Good to chat, boys.
Let's get ready to rumble!
Knockout tipping time.
All right, it's time to get to that part of our show. We go to knockout tipping, and this time we have our great rugby league expert, MMT legend. He's going to give his picks. It is knockout tipping comp, so you can only pick your team once, and once you pick them, you can't pick them again until we restart. And it's closer, a lot closer this year, Will, compared to last year. This year I was already down by, I reckon, 10 points. 18-17 to T.
Is it?
So hopefully you don't pick a good one. So I can leapfrog him in this one here. Let's start with rugby league. Who are you picking?
I will pick the Canberra Raiders.
Nice. Jerome Luai backs up from Origin 2 48 hours later. So that's good for the Tigers. But the Raiders, nice pick. I am actually going to go. I've avoided the Eels for a long time. All this year I've avoided them. But I'm going to back them against the Titans.
Ooh.
Thoughts? One of your old clubs?
Well, the Titans come off a big win last week against the Eagles, so they might be riding some momentum.
Now, you know when teams are down the bottom and they win?
Yeah.
They celebrate too hard.
I know that.
You know that feeling? I know that,
yeah.
It's like, yes, finally.
Yes, finally.
Finally, and then it can be forgotten about the week after. Whereas the teams that consistently win, doesn't
put
change.
A cap on it.
Just put a cap on it. Yeah, we've won. On to the next job.
Yeah.
So that's why I'm going the Eels for this one.
Yeah, unfortunately, I know that from experience. Finally, we won.
I know that, mate. I know that more than you compared to my win-loss record. Don't worry about that. And for rugby union, who are you going? Oh, actually, you can only go there.
So yep. You're going the Crusaders. So yep. Obviously, you're going the Chiefs.
Head-to-head Chiefs. So this will be a fantastic matchup. And that's us, Will. Man, I like having you on the show.
I love being here, Sammy.
We've got to get you on more often. Hopefully, T takes more holidays so you can come on more often.
Thank you, T, for going on holidays.
Hey, you'll be back on Monday with us, yeah?
Back on Monday.
Perfect. So we'll have you on Monday, but that's our time up for Nation Footy Fridays. Make sure you tell your mates about our Monday and Friday shows and subscribe to the podcast. Just search for Nation Footy, and we'll see you on Monday.
See you then, Sammy.
This show was produced on the lands of the Gadigal people of the Eora Nation.
For centuries, Pacific Islanders have been sharing stories that connect us across the region. Stories from the Pacific is a weekly program that continues that tradition, bringing you deep and personal stories from a diverse range of people. Athletes, farmers, artists, teachers, activists, entrepreneurs, all united by their Pacific heritage and incredible journeys.
Listen to Stories from the Pacific on your favorite podcast app.